All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Dalet. We are picking up at the Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says as follows, Rabbi Yossi Omer. So we'll say still talking about Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yossi says, Shochek V'Zorah L'Ruach. So again, how does a person go ahead and destroy Avodah Zarah? Or what does a person do in the process of destroying Avodah Zarah? So Rabbi Yossi says a person could take the Avodah Zarah, grind it up, v'zore l'ruach, and a person then is able to scatter it to the wind, o matil liyam, or can throw it into the sea. So Rabbi Yossi's idea, remember, this is talking about, Rashi says, v'zore l'ruach, shlo yikasha bel yisrael lehanos v'meno. So remember again, in order to ensure that a Jew does not inadvertently go ahead and benefit from the Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yossi says, destroy it, grind it up, throw it into the water, throw it into the wind. So Amrullah the Sitra Yossi, here's the problem. Afu Naasa Zevel. Here's the problem. If you go ahead and you grind it up and then you throw it to the wind could potentially scatter it upon Jewish fields, in which case, again, Jewish fields are being fertilized by the dust of Avodah Zarah. And in essence, one is still benefiting from the Avodah Zarah. Uksiv and Shine'emar, and the Pasuk says, Lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma min hacherem. The Pasuk says that nothing, literally, Lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma, which means no piece of the Avodah Zarah should cling to your hand min hacherem, from that which is prohibited. The idea being that halacha lemaaseh, even benefiting from the dust of Avodah Zarah to be used to fertilize my field is in and of itself problematic. So therefore, again, the Chachamim seem to disagree with Rabbi Yossi's approach. Again, we'll see more in the Gemara. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, the Braisa now goes ahead and, so remember, Rabbi Yossi gives his suggestion, grind up the Avodah Zarah, make it into dust, scatter it into the wind or into the sea. The Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yossi, here's the problem, you can still run the risk of getting benefit from it, because at the end of the day, it can fertilize the field. So what is Rabbi Yossi's response? And the Braisa records Rabbi Yossi's response. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Balo Kvar Ne'amar. Rabbi Yossi says, one second, we have historical precedent for this. What's the historical precedent? So the Pasuk says, Ve'eschatoschem, Asher asisim es ha'egel, your sin, that which you have made, the egel, to say top of mem dalet amud aleph, lakachti, I've taken it, Ve'esrof oso ba'ish, I've gone ahead and burnt it in the fire, Ve'akos oso tachon hetev, ad asher dak la'afar, Ve'ashlich es afro el hanachal hayored min ha'har. So Moshe Rabbeinu essentially says, I've taken the eagle, I've taken the golden calf, I burnt it up in the fire, I went ahead and I ground it up well until it was dust, and I put its dust into the river that runs down from the mountain. So the point Rabbi Yossi is saying is, you see, how did Moshe Rabbeinu dispose of the eagle? He went ahead and he ground it up into dust and he threw it into the water. So you see from here that this is a bona fide approach to dealing with Avodah Zarah. It was in this Gemara also, this approach, Rabbi Yossi is also presupposing that the Chet HaEgel was a sin of idolatry, which we know is an incredible machlokas on the farshim, exactly what it is that Klal Yisrael was doing with the eagle. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says, you see from here a historical precedent about how to deal with Avodah Zarah. Grind it up, throw it into the water. Amru lo. So they said back to Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya, you can't bring a proof from there. Harehu Omer, Vayizer al Pnei Hamayim, Vayash Esk Pnei Yisrael. So remember again, the difference over there is the Pasuk explicitly says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the dust of the eagle, spread it out over the water, and gave to Klal Yisrael to drink. Leave Klal Yisrael to drink. So the Gemara says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's, what was his logic, what was he doing? Lo niskavin, Ella lebotkon kisotos. That I will say, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the waters to check Klal Yisrael like the sota waters, just like in the process of the sota, the waters of the sota check the woman for whether or not she's maintained marital fidelity. So too, again, our Moshe Rabbeinu grinds up the eagle, puts it in the water, has Klal Yisrael drink. The goal of that water was to test them kisotos. So we'll say, the idea behind it is saying to Rabbi Yossi, you can't use this episode as a model for Avodah Zarah destruction. This was a different type of matzav happening over here. I'm learning Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, okay, I'll give you another historical precedent. Falo kvar ne'amar, the Pasuk says, so we'll say, this is by here, look at Rashi for just, well, actually, before you Rashi, look for Neymar, the gam is ma'acho imo. So we'll say, so the pasuk over here says, the gam ma'acho, so this is talking about by King Asa. So King Asa, again, was a righteous individual, tried to rid the kingdom of Avodah Zarah. So the Navi over here discusses that he had Avodah Zarah in his own family. The gam ma'acho im Asa ha-melech, he'sira mi'gevira asher asa sala ashera, mifletzes. So the pasuk says over here that even Ma'acho, the mother of Asa, literally again, Hesira Migvira means he removed her from her prominence. Asher Asa Sala Ashera Mifletzes. She made a Mifletzes for her Ashera. We'll discuss what that means. But we'll say the point over here is that Asa is destroying the Avodah Zarah. And how does he destroy the Avodah Zarah? Vayidak Vayisrof Benachal Kidron. Again, he went ahead and he burnt up, he browned up, he burnt up the Avodah Zarah, and apparently he took the dust, or he took the ashes, and he spread it in the Kidron Valley. So Rabbi Yossi says, oh, you see from here that how do you deal with Avodah Zarah? Destroy it, burn it, grind it up, and spread its ashes in either, again, either in the river, or in the sea, or just scatter it to the wind. So we'll see, you see over here that he's scattering it in the Kidron Valley. So what do you see from here? That you don't have to be choshesh about the dust of Avodah Zarah serving to fertilize the field. So Amr lo. He said, Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya. I don't understand how you bring a Raya from there. Nachal Kidron eno megadol tzmachin. I will say, Nachal Kidron does not support vegetative growth. Right? Therefore, again, Lemaisa, there's no issue with fertilizing anything because nothing grows in Nachal in the Kidron Valley. Velo, is that true? V'atanyo, Elu V'el, this is actually a fascinating halacha. We saw this in Pesachim in Yuma, the Mesorah Shas quotes, Elu V'elu Misarvin Ba'ama V'yotz the Nachal Kidron. So we'll say, let's talk about this for just a moment. Take a look at Rashi. Elu V'elu, it's right across from the Hagos Habach. Rashi says, supposed to remember again in the Beis Hamikdash itself, by the Mizbeach, there was like a drain. Remember again, there's blood, obviously, in the Beis Hamikdash. What do you do with all the blood? So there was a drain by the Mizbeach. So we'll say, so that ultimately, again, blood would go down that drain. Now, where would that drain go? That drain would actually empty out into the Kidron Valley. So the Gemara, the Bryce discussed something incredible. What would happen? So the farmers would gather at the opening of that drain in the Kidron Valley. What would they do? They would purchase the sacrificial blood to be used as fertilizer in their fields. Now remember, you have to purchase it. You can't just take it. Why? Because the Maisik, and if you just take it, it's Mi'ila. So you have to purchase it, thereby redeeming it, transferring the sanctity onto the money. Money goes to the Beis HaMikdash. You could take the blood and use it as the fertilizer of your field. So Elu Be'elu, the different types of bloods, Misarvin Ba'ama, go ahead and mix in the channel or in the drain. V'yotz L'Nachal Kidron, they flow out into the Kidron Valley. V'nim Karin L'Ganonin L'Zevel, and they are sold to the farmers as fertilizer. Umoalin Bahen. I will say, and if you don't pay for them, you're subject to Mi'ila. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Bipashtos, there are farmers of the Kidron Valley, which tells us what? Stuff grows in the Kidron Valley. So how can you say before that stuff doesn't grow in the Kidron Valley? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Mikomos Yesh. So Bar said, apparently in the Kidron Valley, there were fertile patches and infertile patches. So the idea over here is, so there are both. So there were certain parts of the Kidron Valley that could be planted, other parts of the Kidron Valley that could not be planted. Therefore, I hear about according to this answer, so the Gemara is saying over here that when Asa went ahead and ground up the Avodah Zarah and scattered the dust, perhaps he was makbid to do it in a part of the Kidron Valley that did not support any kind of vegetation. Okay, the Gemara just says, as an aside, my mifletes. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So the Gemara has been speaking about the Avodah Zarah of Ma'acha, the mother of Asa, says that she made a mifletes. A mifletes. So my mifletes, what does mifletes mean? So says the Gemara, my mifletes, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, dohava mafli litzenusa. So we'll say, apparently mifletes is a contraction of two words, mafli litzenusa, which means she did things, or we'll say now, late sonos literally means silliness. in this particular context, what it really means is depravity. She did something exceptionally depraved. What did she do? Kedetani Rav Yosef, kamin zachrus astala v'haisaniv eles lo b'choyor. We'll say it's actually quite dramatic. She made like an image, but on her avodah zarah, she put an image of the male aver. Right, she put an image of a male aver, and literally, again, she had relations with her idol each and every day. So not only did she worship idolatry, but literally she debased herself with the idol each and every day. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Lo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, well, so remember again, Rabbi Yossi is just trying to find a proof. A proof to what? A proof to this idea that the way to dispose of avodah zarah is to grind it up and scatter it to the wind, and that one need not be concerned that dust is going to go ahead and serve any kind of secondary benefit. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi, V'lo kvar ne'amar, V'chites nachash nechoshes. Well, so we actually just learned about this in the Navi Shir on Shabbos afternoon. The Pasuk says that one of the things that King Chizkiyahu did is he took the nachash nechoshes, he took the copper serpent made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and he ground it up. So the key is Nachash Nechoshes Sha'asa Moshe. Amrulo. So Moshe says, you see. Now, the Pashtas, again, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do with the dust? What does Chizkiyahu do with the dust? The Pashtas, he goes ahead and he scatters it. So you see, again, there's a precedent for this type of disposal. So the Gemara says, Amrulo Misham Raya. So he said, Rabbi Yossi, you can't bring a Raya from there. After all, Harehu Omer, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Asei Lecha Saraf. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make for yourself this copper serpent. Remember again, this is when there was the outbreak of snakes or of scorpions in the desert. Klal Yisrael was getting bitten and dying. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to construct this Nechushtan. Klal Yisrael looks at the Nechushtan and ultimately they're healed from the snake bites. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Asei Lecha Saraf. Go ahead and make for yourself this copper serpent. Lecha Mishalcha. Well, say, interestingly enough, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to make this from his own funds, from his own money. Ve'ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo. So I'll say, here's what's fascinating, is this Nechushtan really never turns into a real avodah zarah. We'll say, why did it never turn into a real avodah zarah? Because Lemaisa, although Klal Yisrael began to worship it, we'll say, you can't turn someone else's object into an avodah zarah. Rosa, can you imagine this? If somebody else had the power to turn your objects into avodah zarah, that means somebody comes along, bows down to your car in your driveway, decides to pledge its allegiance to your car as its deity, then what? Then what? You're done, right? And then it pledges allegiance to the driveway next, right? And then you're done. So this is obviously, ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo, meaning you can't go ahead and prohibit something that does not belong to you. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asei Lecha, make the Nechushtan from your own money, from your own copper. Therefore, it was technically the property of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it was the property of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Klal Yisrael subsequently worshipped it, but nevertheless, they don't have the ability to aser it. Ve'ein adam oser davar she'eino shalo. To which the Gemara says, V'hasa bedinhu, dechasusi lohava tzarech. The reality is, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech saw that they were worshipping the Nechushtan, there was no obligation to destroy it. Elakevan dechazu, dechazu dekatal Yisrael Basrei, amad vikiseso. But since Chizkiyahu saw that the people were straying, they were making mistakes with this Nechushtan, he decided to destroy it. Rabbi said, even though he decided to destroy it, that was more of a public service, but at the end of the day, it's not avodah zarah, therefore again, its dust would have never been prohibited. Amalem, so Rabbi Yossi is not giving up. Amr Lahem, Valokvar Nehemar, Vayaz Vusham. So we'll say the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, by David HaMelech, Vayaz Vusham es Atzabehem, Vayisaim David Va'anashav. So we'll say this is after one of the wars that David HaMelech waged with the Plishtim. So the Pasuk says, the Plishtim ran away in such fright that Vayaz Vusham es Atzabehem, they left their idols. Atzaveh means their idols. Vayisom David va'anoshav. Now, both say, Rabbi Yossi is translating vayisom as meaning what? David HaMelech and his men ground up the idols and they scattered the dust. So the Gemara says, my mashma dahai vayisom David lishna dezaruyehu. How do you know that the Yisayin is also Vayisayin? The Pasha Taich of Vayisayin is what? They lift it up. How do you know that Vayisayin means to grind up? So to which the Gemara says, Kidim Targim Rav Yosef. As Rav Yosef translates, Tizraim Veruach Tisayim. So what's Rav Yosef quotes the Pasuk from Yeshayo, Tizraim Veruach Tisayim. What does that mean? Umetargaminon, we translate that as saying, Tazrinun, grind it up. Viruach titaltalinun, and the wind will go ahead and take it. Amrulo misham raya, can you bring a raya from David HaMelech? After all, Hareyu Omer, the Pasuk says, Vayisrafu ba'ish, we'll say the Pasuk says that they took the Avodah Zarah, and what did they do? They burnt it in the fire. So the Gemara says, Umidlok siv, Vayisrafeim Vayisaim. And the fact that it does not say they burnt it and they scattered it, Shmamino Vayisaim Mamish. We'll say we would be tempted to say that Vayisa'im means what? That they literally went ahead and what? They lifted it up. Mikomokom kashu kra adadis. We'll say either way, we have a contradiction in Psukim. We'll say, what's the contradiction? We have two different, meaning one pasuk seems to indicate that David HaMelech went ahead and burnt the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim, and the other pasuk seems to indicate that what? That he lifted up or took the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim. So which one is it? What did David HaMelech do with the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim? To which the Gemara also says something amazing. Kid Rav Huna Rami Ksiv. Also Rav Huna contrasts these psukim and explains the contrast. So on one hand it says, Vayomer David Vayisrifu Ba'ish, says that David HaMelech ordered that the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim be burnt in the fire. Uksiv Vayisaim, but the Pasuk also says that what? That he lifted it or took it. So we'll say, so which one is it? Did he destroy it or did he keep it? Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. We'll say, here we go. Kan kodem shebo itai hagiti, kam la'achar shebo itai hagiti. So we'll say, listen to this. One was before Itai, the Giti, came along. One was after. What does this mean? You take a look at Rashi. It's Rashi almost right across in Rashi. Kodim Shabba Itai Ubitla Amar David Lasara. So we'll say Itai Agiti is an Akum. He was an Akum, he was a Gentile. And therefore, again, what happens? He comes along and he negates the Avodah Zarah. Remember again, Abba saying Akum has the ability to negate the idolatrous identity of an Avodah Zarah, whether it's his Avodah Zarah or someone else's Avodah Zarah. So watch this. Before Itai HaGiti came along and negated the Avodah Zarah, David HaMelech has no choice but to what? But to destroy the Avodah Zarah. But once Itai HaGiti comes along and negates the idolatrous identity of the Avodah Zarah, so David HaMelech has the ability to keep it, because it's no longer Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Dechsiv, Vayikach es ateres malkam me'al rosho, u'mishkala kikar zav. So we'll say, for example, the Pasuk says, in this same context, David HaMelech took, literally, Ateres Malkam. We'll say, Malkam is actually the name of the Avodah Zarah. David HaMelech took a crown off one of their Avodah Zarahs, and literally, Umishkala Kikar Zav. We'll say this was an exceptionally heavy crown, right? Kikar Zav. So we'll say, just to give you an idea, so a kikar is somewhere between like 50 and 60 pounds. So the idea is this was a very, very, very heavy crown. Obviously, must have been worth an incredible amount. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Umi Shari, how could David take the crown? So Asiri Hanoninu. If it's a crown of Avodah Zarah, would it not be Asr Ba'ana? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Ita Hagiti Ba Ubitla. So we'll say, ultimately, again, remember, this is what we said before, Ita Hagiti came along, and what? He was Mevatel, the idolatrous identity of this crown, or of this Pesel, and therefore, again, David HaMelech was permitted to keep the crown. So the Gemara says, Mishkala Kikar Zav. So Gemara talks about the crown for just a little bit. So how can you say, ultimately, so if it's a Kikar, Hechi Matzi Manachla, we'll say, how could David HaMelech wear that? In other words, how can you support something that's 50, 60 pounds on your head on a regular basis? Amrav Yehuda Amrav, Ru'uya Lanuach Arosh David. What it means is, such a crown was fit for David HaMelech. It was fit to him. Look at Rashi. Amrav Yehuda, Hai Vatihi Arosh David, loved the Manachla. Doesn't literally mean that David HaMelech wore it. Rather, Ela Hachikamar, Chashuva Uru'uyu L'David, Shasui L'midas Roshova Holamta. So we'll define what this means in just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it was fit for David HaMelech. It was fit for a king of Davidic stature. So the Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda, Amrav, Reuya lanuach al rosh David. So the Gemara says, Rav says also, it was fit for the head of David HaMelech. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar, Evan Shoeves Haisaba, Dahavas Darala. Well, this is interesting. So apparently, again, what used to happen is, there was a magnet that was on top of the throne of David HaMelech, so that when he sat on his throne, so he was able to wear the throne, he was able to wear the crown, because the magnet which was embedded on the top of the throne almost allowed the crown to sit on his head without weighing down on his head. Rabbi Elazar Amar Evan Yukara Haisaba Sheshava Kikar Kesa. Well, Rabbi Elazar has a different approach. He says, the Kikar doesn't have to represent the weight. The kikar could represent the value, that it was as valuable as a kikar. But it could just be that what? That there was one major stone in it that was worth all of this money. Zos haisali, kipi kudecha natsarti. So we'll say, David HaMelech is going to speak a little bit more about this crown. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Zos haisali, this was for me, or I merited this. Kipi kudecha natsarti. Because I kept your mitzvos. So my kamar, what does this pasuk mean? So the Gemara says, Hachi kamar, this is what it means. Bischar shepikudecha natsarti, zos haisali leidus. Because ultimately, again, bischar shepikudecha natsarti, because I went ahead and I kept your mitzvos, zos haisali leidus. Ultimately, again, this crown was a testimony to me that I was your chosen monarch. So the Gemara says, my edusa, how does the crown attest to the veracity of David HaMelech's claim to the throne? I'm going to be sure that you will listen to this. Shai samanicha b'makom tefillin v'holamto. We'll say David HaMelech would put the crown, would wear his crown by the place of the tefillin. We'll say v'holamto means that the crown miraculously fit to the shape of his head. See, they will say, when you think about a crown, so normally, again, a person listens, what shape is the crown? A crown is round. The problem with a round crown is that what Rabbi was saying. So the head is not round. So it could sit on the head, but lav dafka, it's contoured. The miracle of David HaMelech's crown is that it contoured to the mamish, the shape of his head. So the Gemara says, v'habai anuchei tefillin, but I don't understand. If he wore the crown there, but Pashas HaMelech wore the crown all the time, how was he able to put on tefillin? Amar Rav Shulba Rav Yitzchak, makom yesh berosh, shera'oi lahaniach bo shtei tefillin. We'll say, because if you think about it, there was space to have the crown by the makom tefillin, but actually the place on the head where a person is supposed to put on tefillin, right, so there's actually space for two sets of tefillin. Well, so you can see this, you don't see it here in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, you often see this by certain groups of Sfardim who dafka wear two pairs of tefillin at once. Two pairs of tefillin at once. They're usually tiny pairs of tefillin, but you're able to put on two pairs of tefillin. Again, they're able to sit both on the Rosh and on the Yad at the same time. So we'll say, again, the Pasuk says, they brought out the son of the king. We'll say, this is about Yoash, right? Yoash, his mother, remember Yoash's mother had wiped out the entire monarchical line. Yoash's sister had hid him. She hid him actually in the Beis HaMikdash for a number of years. They bring out Yoash and they crown him. How did they crown him? Vayitnu alav es ha-nezer ve-es ha-edus. They gave him the nezer and the edus. The Gemara says, nezer zu kalila, the nezer is the crown. Edus, so we'll say, what does it mean, edus? Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, edus hu le-beis David. We'll say, the crown was the ultimate testimony if you were a fit Davidic monarch. How so? Shekalaroi le-malchus holamto. We'll say, this is amazing. How would they know if a person was an appropriate Davidic king? So they put the crown on their head. If the crown fit, right? If the crown fit, you're the king. If the crown did not fit, then you're not the king. The Gemara tells us about someone who the crown did not fit. But remember again, this is at the end of Malachim Aleph. Shmuel Beis. This David HaMelech is on his deathbed, and while he has not actively named the successor, his son Adoniyah ben Chagia says, "I am going to rule." Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, "Shemisnase lahomo for the holamto." He said he was going to rule because he said the crown would fit, but yet the crown did not fit. So Adoni already began to conduct himself like the king. And again, he had chariots and runners, 50 men who ran in front of him. What's the big deal that he had 50 runners in front of him? To which the Gemara says, these weren't just runners, these were the fastest runners in the kingdom. Kulam netuli tchul, but say each of them had their spleen removed. V'chakuke kapos ragleim hayu, and apparently had the soles of their feet hollowed out. So Rashi points out that apparently the spleen hatochol machbid. Apparently the spleen slows you down. So they took something, I guess, that destroyed the spleen internally, and ultimately they also went ahead and did something to the soles of their feet that allowed them to run faster. Good. V'say Mishnah Amud Beis. Shaul Kruklus Ben Felusfus Esra Begamlio Ba'akov. So this guy, right? This guy, Proklos Ben Felusfus, Rashi says, Min Oved Kochavim Haya. By the way, he wasn't just an Oved Kochavim, he was a Min Oved Kochavim, right? Which means like all-star Oved Kochavim status. So this guy is an important Oved Kochavim. Esra Begamlio Ba'akov. So yes, Esra Begamlio and this guy, Proklos Ben Felusfus, are in Akko together. Shairochitz b'merchatz shal Aphrodite. And Rabbi Gamliel is with this guy in the bathhouse of Aphrodite. Right? The Greek god Aphrodite. Amrle, so Proklos says Rabbi Gamliel, k'subet raschem lo yidbak b'yadcham u'ma minacherem. The pasuk says that your Torah says that a Jew essentially can't have anything to do with Avodah Zarah. Right? You can't have any kind of connection with Avodah Zarah. So why are you bathing in the bathhouse of Aphrodite? It's a good shayla. Amrlo, so what I said, Rabbi Gamliel says, I can't talk Torah with you in the bathhouse. In other words, so I'll talk to you when we get out of here. Ukeshi Yatsa, when they came out of the bathhouse, Amrlo, so Rabbi Gamliel said as follows. He said, number one, Anilo basi bigvulel, he ba'a bigvuli. I did not come in her domain, she came in my domain. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. He bought big vuli. Rashi says, Shamer chatz kodim lo. The bathhouse was here before Aphrodite. In other words, this bathhouse pre-existed when they introduced the idol of Aphrodite. So because the bathhouse was here before Aphrodite, therefore again, I could use the bathhouse even if they subsequently introduced the idol. Furthermore, ein omrim na'asa merchatz lenoi Aphrodite. Furthermore, again, no one constructs a bathhouse for the beautification or for the honor of Aphrodite. Elo omer na'asa Aphrodite noi lemerchatz. So let's say, this is also interesting. Rabbi Gamliel says, furthermore, no one builds a bathhouse for Aphrodite. Rather, again, the idol of Aphrodite is introduced afterwards as an adornment or as a decoration for the bathhouse. Take a look at Rashi. Same Rashi. He bought big vuli. Va'otshuv acheres ein anu omrim naase merchatz noy len Aphrodite de merchatz lav davar noy el naase Aphrodite noy merchatz. So Rabbi Gamliel essentially answers him in two ways. Number one, the merchatz was here before Aphrodite. Number two, it's not Aphrodite's merchatz. The merchatz wasn't made for Aphrodite, but rather again, Aphrodite is simply an adornment in the bathhouse itself. Therefore, I could use it. Davar acher. Furthermore, again, Rabbi Gamliel said, if they were to give you a lot of money, furthermore, again, Rabbi Gamliel says to this guy, Proklos, says, listen, even if somebody were to give you a lot of money, you wouldn't walk naked in front of your Avodah Zarah. You wouldn't go ahead and urinate in front of your Avodah Zarah, because again, your Avodah Zarah is your God, right? And therefore, again, you would not mistreat it. Yet this statue of Aphrodite, Omedes al Habib, stands right by the gutter, and everyone urinates right in front of it. So the Gemara says, Lo ne'emar elo Elohehem. The Isser of Avodah Zarah, or the Isser of a Jew going ahead and coming, this pasuk is specifically speaking about the obligation to destroy Avodah Zarah. The obligation to destroy Avodah Zarah, Ela Elohehem. As shenoing bo mishum eloka or eloha asr, as she'ino noing bo mishum eloha mutter. So ultimately, Rabbi Gamliel says the Israel of the Zara is only on things that people treat like a god, but on things that people don't treat like a god, but rather treat in a more disparaging fashion. So the Isser of Avodah Zarah does not apply. So we'll say, Sefer turns out that really, Rabbi Gamliel seems to give three different insights to this Proklos Number one, bathhouse was here before Aphrodite. Number two, it's not Aphrodite's bathhouse. Aphrodite is just an adornment here. And number three, you guys aren't really even worshipping this idol. Because if you worship the idol, you wouldn't walk around unclothed. You wouldn't be urinating in front of the idol. But you're doing all of these things. And therefore, by definition, this is not the type of avodah zarah that the Torah prohibits. Says the Gemara, v'hechi avitachi. So what's the Gemara? That's an interesting shayla. So Rashi says, v'hechi avitachi. Listen to this. Now remember, Proklos asks Rabbi Gamliel this question in the bathhouse. How can you bathe in the bathhouse of Aphrodite? So what does Rabbi Gamliel respond? Rabbi Gamliel responds, "Ein mashivim beis hamerchatz." I can't talk Torah in the bathhouse. Says the Gemara, how is he even Moshe? Remember again. The statement of I can't talk Torah in the bathhouse is what? It's Torah, right? So the Gemara says, how is Rabbi Gamliel even able to answer that to Proklos in the bathhouse? Ve'echi avidachi, v'amar Rama bar Barchana am Rabbi Yochanan b'chol moko mota laharher, chutz mi'beis amerchatz mi'beis akise. A person is probably permitted to think thoughts of Torah in every place with the exception of the bathhouse and the bathroom. So maybe he didn't speak Hebrew, so maybe he used some type of foreign tongue, right, to go ahead and answer this. Abaye says, no. Dvarim shel chol mutar la'omer b'lashon kodesh. Abaye said that dvarim shel chol, mundane matters, one is permitted to speak about even a lashon kodesh. Dvarim shel kodesh, but holy matters, asur la'omer b'lashon chol. You're not even permitted to go ahead and say them in a foreign tongue, in non-lashon kodesh. To which the one says, you're right. Tana kisheyatsa amrlo in mashim b'merchatz. So we'll say what happens is apparently in the merchatz itself, Rabbi Gamliel ignored Proklos. When they came out, Rabbi Gamliel says, "I apologize for ignoring you, but in mashim b'merchatz, I'm not allowed to talk Torah with you in the merchatz. Now let me explain to you why I did what I did." Amr Chama bar Yosef Rabbi. So the Gemara says, "Amr Chama bar Yosef Rabbi, Amr Boshia." Tshuva ginuva heshiva Rabbi Gamliel la'osa hegmon. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Chama bar Yosef says in Rabbi Oshia, truth is Rabbi Gamliel didn't really give a real answer to Proklos. Rather, it says again, tshuva ginuva. We'll say tshuva ginuva means he kind of pushed him off. Rashi says, klamar dachol bakash. He didn't give him a real answer, but rather again, he kind of just pushed the question aside. How so? Va'ani omer, but Rabbi Chama bar Yosef says in Rabbi Oshia, ain't a ginuva. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Baruch haba. Welcome back. Vani Omer ain't a ginuva. And ultimately, again, but I say it, in fact, was not a stolen answer. In other words, that it was a real answer. So my ginuva, I say to Carmel. So I'll say, why would you say that it wasn't a good answer? So the Gemara says, Zu omedes al pi abiv v'cho adam mashtim b'faneha. So ultimately, again, so says the Gemara, one of the things Rabbi Gamliel said to Proklos was, don't tell me that Aphrodite is your god, because everybody stands in front of it and what? And urinates. Says the Gemara, V'chi mashtim b'faneha mayhavi. So Rabbi Gamliel, you're saying that just because you urinate in front of the idol, therefore what? Therefore it's not avodah zarah. It's not true. V'amar Rava, pa'or yochiach. We'll say, look at Baal Pa'or. What happens with Baal Pa'or? Shemefari lefan of b'chol yom ve'eno batal. Literally, they defecate on the idol, right? This is mamish like the whole thing. Right? So what happens? So they go ahead and they defecate on the idol every day. And yet again, that's the avodah zarah. Ve'eno batal. So we'll say, so therefore again, that's why Rabbi Gamliel wasn't really giving a real answer. To which Rabbi Chama says, no, it's not true. Vani Omer ainu gnuva. Rabbi Gamliel was saying, good, what's the difference? Zu avodasa bekach, v'zu ain avodasa bekach. We'll say, here's the difference. You can't compare that. Baal Pa'ar, the way to worship the idol is how? To defecate on it. That's the mode of worship. By Aphrodite, that's not the case. Amra Abaye Gnufta Mehacha. Abaye says, you're right. The truth is, it was a tshuva gnuva. Rabbi Gamliel didn't really give him a good answer based on this. The Kamarle, Ani lo basi b'gvulavi ba b'gvuli. Because Rabbi Gamliel says, listen, I didn't come to Aphrodite. Aphrodite came to me. Which Abaye means what? Okay. Rabbi Gamliel was saying, the bathhouse was here before Aphrodite. Abaye, first of all, I lined them down on the days. Dechi ba b'gvulam mayhavi. Silence then, so what? Even if indeed, dechi ba b'gvulam mayhavi. V'hod disnan, the verse, v'hod nan, Avodas kochavim sheyesh lamerchatz o gina nan in mehen shelo betova. We'll say even if the avodah zarah, even if Aphrodite was there first, the Mishnah says as follows: that if you have an avodah zarah, we'll say we'll get to this in a little bit, in a couple of days. That if you have an avodah zarah, we'll say that has a merchatz or a garden, right? So, in other words, the avodah zarah has gardens. The avodah zarah has a bathhouse. Nan in mehen, a Jew could use this bathhouse or shpatzir in the gardens. Shelo betova. But we'll say shelo betova. Rashi says shelo yachzik tova lekomrim ubanalo meser kidamino lekaman. So let's listen to this. As long as what? As long as you don't express your effusive thanks to the priests who tend to the bathhouse or to the garden. So we'll say, so as long as you don't start giving shavach and odah to the avodah zarah for the use of the bathhouse or the garden, it's okay. And we're going to see, the Gemara is actually going to allude to this. The reason why this is so is because there is no such concept as hekdish by avodah zarah, which we'll say means the idol itself is prohibited, but there's no such thing as things, as other objects or items being consecrated to avodah zarah. So therefore, if you have an avodah zarah which owns a bathhouse, that bathhouse is permitted for use. That garden is permitted for use. As long as what? As long as you do not go ahead and give effusive thanks to the Avodah Zarah for the use of this object. So the Gemara says, So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, even had the bathhouse belonged to Aphrodite, in other words, even had Aphrodite been there first, and the bathhouse mamish been built, l'shem Aphrodite, it still would have, what Rabbi say? It still would have been okay for Rabbi Gamliel to bathe there. To which the Gemara says, "Va'ani Omer, no, Einu Gnuva." Rabbi Gamliel was saying, "Good, why?" Shelo betovas Rabbi Gamliel kitovas achirim dami. Because Rabbi was saying, if indeed it was built for Aphrodite, it would have been problematic for Rabbi Gamliel to bathe there. Why Rabbi was saying? Because just the fact that Rabbi Gamliel showed up and used it would have been construed as an incredible shevach to the Avodah Zarah. Someone of such incredible prominence, someone of such incredible importance using it, would have been considered to be something that would have been a cover to the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rav Simi Bar Chiya Amar Gnufta Mehacha. Rav Simi Bar Chiya says, he gave a stolen answer, so to speak. Rav Simi Bar Chiya gave a half answer based on the following. The Kamar Lo, Zu Omedes Al Abif, V'chol Adem Mashtin Bifanel. Remember again, Rabbi Gamliel was saying, you guys don't really worship Aphrodite, because Aphrodite is standing by the gutter, and everybody's urinating in front of her. And ultimately, again, even if they urinate in front of her, so what? V'hatnan, we learned, Rak b'faneha, hishtin b'faneha, gira v'zark b'asatsoa, harezu eina b'teila. That even if you spit on your idol, urinate in front of your idol, throw excrement at your idol, so ultimately, again, the idol is still avodah zarah. It's not bottle. So we'll see. You see that even the act of urinating in front of the idol, throwing excrement at the idol, does not go ahead and negate the idolatrous identity of the idol. Vani omer eina gnuva. But I say Rabbi Gamliel was still saying good. Why? Hasam lefi shaituhu rasechala. But we'll say, you know, everybody's got a bad day sometimes, right? So sometimes it's just one of those throw excrement at the idol days, right? In other words, that I'm upset at the idol for whatever the reason, but lav dafka, that means I don't believe in it anymore. So it's just that, again, I'm having a difficult time in this particular matzov, but lamaisa, again, I still believe it. Hasim ulufi shayta rasecha leva hadir mafisla, hocha kol shayta v'shayta bizil zula kaima. Both say that's different when it's a sustained activity. If a person is urinating in front of you, so again, one day the person gets angry at the idol and throws something at it, spits at it, throws excrement, urinates on it, okay, it's angry at the idol for that day. But to do this every single day seems to be a fundamental statement that one is not actively worshipping this as a deity. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Gnufta Mehacha. Rabbi Ula says that ultimately, again, Rabbi Gamliel's answer was not a real answer based on the following. The Kamar, Ein Omrim Naase Merchatz Nei L'Aphrodite, Ela Naase Aphrodite Noi L'Merchatz. That we don't say, make a bathhouse for Aphrodite, rather we say, put a statue of Aphrodite in the bathhouse to make it look nice. Rabbi Gamliel was seemingly saying, this is not Aphrodite's bathhouse, but rather, again, there's a statue of Aphrodite in here to make it look nice. V'chi Omrim Naase Merchatz L'Aphrodite Noi Mai Havi. Even if we said, like, we just mentioned this before, even if you were to say, let's make a bathhouse for Aphrodite, would that preclude Rabbi Gamliel from using it? V'ha Tanya, we learned, Ha'omer bayis zeh la'avodos kochavim, kos zeh la'avodos kochavim la'omer klum. But we'll say, if a person says, I hereby declare that this house should belong to Avodah Zarah, or this glass, this cup, should belong to Avodah Zarah, la'omer klum. But we'll say, such a statement is meaningless. Why? She'ein hektish la'avodos kochavim. Vosei is a profound statement. Why? Because there is no such concept as hektish by Avodah Zarah. Vosei is actually very profound. What is hektish? Hektish means, like for our purposes, hektish means the Beis HaMikdash has the ability to own something. And when the Beis HaMikdash owns something, the holiness ascribed to the Beis HaMikdash devolves upon the owned object as well. Again, different types of sanctity for different types of item, but that's the concept of Hekdish. Something owned or pledged to the Beis HaMikdash has Beis HaMikdash sanctity. The Gemara says that concept does not apply to Avodah Zarah. So if an Akum were to go ahead and say, I hereby pledge this bathhouse to Avodah Zarah, we say, okay, and then go in and bathe. In other words, we'll say that that statement does not have any theological or Avodah Zarah implications. Now, why we don't say Hekdish by Avodah Zarah, that's on Nun Beis. We'll discuss that sugya. Therefore, we're going to both say, even if at the end of the day, the bathhouse was mamish made for Aphrodite, it still wouldn't matter. It still wouldn't matter, because ultimately, again, it would not be Asher Vani. Omer ina gnuva, nehi di Israel misra, noi miha ika. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but Rabbi Gamliel was still saying good. Because at the end of the day, even if technically speaking, if it was made for Aphrodite, it wouldn't belong to Aphrodite, therefore could be used, since ultimately, again, the merchatz is associated with Aphrodite, it could have been that it would have been proper for someone like Rabbi Gamliel to abstain from using it. So says the Gemara, noi mia ika, ihava rechitza, noi lavodos kochavim, asr liyafos avodos kochavim, afagav disrilo misr merchatz pana. So this is actually quite interesting. So at the end of the Gemara says that even if halacha lemaisa, the merchatz would not have been asr for avodah zarah, since again it would have been associated for avodah zarah, then I will say it could have been that this should have been something that Rabbi Gamliel would have avoided using. I will say we'll stop over here for today. Just two quick things. First of all, tomorrow Purim, if Yerza Hashem, we will begin the daf at 5:45 a.m. followed by the first shacharis at 6:30. Let's say just one word about Tanis Esther. So you know, again, we call today Tanis Esther, and people often think that it refers to the Tanis, to the fast day that Esther Hamalka declares for the Jews. When she says to Mordechai, Lech kinosas kala Yehudim v'tzomu alai, gather all of the Jews and go ahead and fast for me, when she was about to go into Achashverosh. But of course, again, so that's not true, because that fast took place during the month of Nisan. So the Mishnah Berurah comments that although we call it Tainus Esther, it's nothing to do with the fast of Esther Malka. Rather, it refers to the fact that Jews would often fast before they would go out to battle. The makar for this, the source of this, is Moshe Rabbeinu's war with Amalek. That the Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to war with Amalek, so again, Moshe Rabbeinu and the soldiers fast before and during the war itself. So since Klal Yisrael was going to face its enemies on the 14th and then ultimately the 15th of Adar, so they fasted on the 13th, the day before battle, and going the day before battle going into Purim. And we'll say just, we don't have time for it now, but the Sfarim bring down that this is a day which is incredibly auspicious for tefillah, for prayer. Meaning, if you think about it, this was the day thousands of years ago where our ancestors, they had incredible bitachon, but you know, sometimes you have bitachon in something, but there's a part of you that's still very scared because you don't know how it's going to turn out. So they believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take care of them as they rose up against their enemies on Purim and then on Shushan Purim. But there's always that feeling deep down, I know I'll be successful, but at what cost? I know I'll be successful, what's the collateral damage? And the Ribbono Shel Olam answered their tefillos. Ribbono Shel Olam answered their tefillos, and we are the testament to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their tefillos. That they were successful. We are here today celebrating Purim because the Ribbono Shel Olam answered the tefillos of our ancestors thousands of years ago on Tainus Esther. And the Sfarim bring down that this day has an incredible and auspicious power of tefillah. That the ability to daven for things on Tainus Esther is almost that's unmatched. So just to give you like a window into this, you know, we often quote the great tzaddik Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. So, you know, the Rebbe was an Oyev Yisrael. That was the Rebbe's defining midah. He loved every single Jew. So they say that there was one day that you really couldn't speak to Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev. One day where he just really didn't interact with people that much. Take a wild guess which day? Tainus Esther. Why? He said, because today there is such a powerful koach atzilo. Today there's such an incredible ability to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask him for all the things that he needs. He felt that he could not utilize that time speaking to other people. Today is the day, ultimately, again, to be able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't have the time to get into why that is, death, but I would just say, we're about to go into davening. And I would say, all of us have something to daven for. Reach at people who we know who are ill. We know people who struggle with infertility. We know people who struggle with shiduchim, people who struggle with parnasa, people who struggle with shalom bayis, people who struggle with physical health, with mental health, with all different kinds of things. It's sarchi amcha merubim. And even if you're one of the lucky few who don't have anyone in your family who needs any of these brachas, or don't know anyone in your immediate circle who needs these brachas, say klal yisrael tzarchei amcha merubim. We need so much. And most of all, you know, it's enough of celebrating Purim. We need to start celebrating Moshiach. So we should just have in mind, you know, often we're distracted during davening, and often our head is in a bunch of different places, and we're already in the office even before we get to the office. We've got a million things to do today, and it's Purim tonight, and it's a whole bunch of things going on. But we'll say, we have an opportunity for a Shachris and Yiratz Hashem this morning, for a Mincha this afternoon, on a day where Rabbi Levi Yitzchok, our Rebbe, tells us that today the Koach Atzilos, the Aruba of Shamayim, the gates of Shamayim, the gates of Shamayim, the windows of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are wide open. And we bezoch Emer HaSashem to take advantage of the Koach Atzilos on this day, in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the Tfilos of our ancestors thousands of years ago. May He hear our Tfilos today, answer them in our Tfilos today. May we bezoch Emer HaSashem to personal, to national Geulos V'Yeshuos.